Today's shir is Masechta Zvachim Daf Kuf Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, the bottom line, Meisvei. In our previous shir, we had learned that Rav taught us that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered a Kohen. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Braisa teaches us Miriam. When Miriam became a Tzaras, me his Gira. Who was the one that determined that she's Mitzayra and she should be quarantined as a Mitzayra? And the Bryce explained itself. In time of Moshe's Gira, if you're going to suggest that it was Moshe Rabbeinu who made that decision, how can we say that? Moshe Zahu. Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Gemara, was a Zor, was a Yisrael, and the Halach is, Vein Zor, Rayus in the Goyim. A Zor is not allowed to be the one that checks for the Goyim. Vim time of Aaron is Gira. If you'll suggest that Aaron was the one that made that decision, ask the Gemara, but Aaron Karafu, Aaron was a relative, he's a brother. Vein Karav, Royas, and Negoim, a relative is not allowed to be the one to look at Negoim. Says the Gemara, Al Kava Godl Cholel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Miriam by Sheshah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extended great honor to Miriam at that moment. And he said, Ani Koyin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on himself, that I am a Kayin, Vani Mizgaira, and I will be the one that make that decision. Ani Chalta, I will be the one that says she has to be quarantined as a Mitzayra. Vani Paitra, and I will be the one to say that she is no longer Mitzayra. But ask the Gemara, the bottom line, what's relevant to our shir, ask the Gemara, Moshe Zor. The Braisa said that Moshe is a Zor, Ven Royas in the Goyim. And Rav taught us, asked the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not a Zor. And says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Shani Maris the Goyim. We can't bring a Rav from Maris the Goyim. Because the Pasuk, when it speaks about who could view a Nege, the Pasuk says the Aaron Bon of Ksiba Parsha. The Torah says that it has to be somebody who is Aaron or one of his children. And as I saw, the Brisker Rav explains the Gemara, there are two elements to being a Kohen. There's one element being a Kohen, and there's the other element of being from Aaron or Bonav, either Aaron or one of his children. And typically, we consider them the same. But now tells us the Gemara that is not actually the same. Aaron, there's a concept called a Kohen, and there's a concept called Aaron or Bonav. And Aaron Abonov is a totally different category than somebody who is just a Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Gemara, is the category of a Kohen, but he's not in the category, says the Gemara, of Aaron Abonov. So of course, all the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. The Gemara said that the Braisa began by saying that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the one that could see it in the Goyim, because Moshe is a Zor. And then the Gemara says Aaron couldn't have been that person either, because Aaron is a Karev, and a Karev is not allowed to look at the Goyim. So the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu was also a brother. So the issue that there is with Aaron, that he's a Karev, is with Moshe Rabbeinu also. So why did the Braisa only point out that the disqualification with Moshe Rabbeinu was that he was a Zor? They could have also pointed out that he was a Kohen. Many Achronim have a discussion about this, and they want to discuss, was Moshe Rabbeinu truly a Zor? If it would only said that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Karev, then it would have been misleading to think that he was not a Zor. And this Tana is obviously of the opinion that he is considered a Zor. So in order to not make any mistake that anybody should think that Moshe Rabbeinu was anything less than that, the Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Zor, the Tana focused on the Zor part and not on the Kara part, even though there was that disqualification as well. Another teretz that I saw is that this halacha, if a karev has a lot of look at the goyim, was a machloikus. Moshe Rabbeinu was of the opinion that a karev may look at Nagoyim. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was not looking at the tzaras of Miriam, the only reason he gave for not looking at the tzaras is because he's a Zohar. Whereas Aaron was of the opinion that a Karev can look at Nagoyim. Therefore, he said the reason is because he's a Karev. Many Achroinim have a problem with that pshat, because it's difficult to accept, they say, that Aaron would disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu in a halacha. Is another explanation that the Sefer Tzion Kedoshim offers, is why is the reason that a Karev is not allowed to look at the Goyim? So he explains that a Karev is not allowed to look at the Goyim because he's partial. He loves his relatives. Moshe Rabbeinu was on such a high level of Ruchnius that Moshe Rabbeinu, and Miriam particularly at that moment, who had said Lashon Hara about him, even though, of course, he didn't hate her for that reason, but we can, especially as we know the Torah Kedoshah says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, Vish Moshe Onav Ma'oid, but his great love for his sister, this is a Chiddush, diminished. And therefore, the problem that he was a Karev wasn't there at that moment. And that's why many Achronim suggest that even though the halacha is that a Karev is not allowed to look at Nagoyim, that's only a Karev that wasn't the individual that the person said Lashon Hara about that caused that individual should become a Metzora. If you are the individual that person spoke about that caused that individual to become a Metzora, then you are not disqualified from looking at that nega. Another teretz, of course, that many Mefarshim suggest, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was like a Malach. And the whole concept of relations, of being related to someone, is only applicable when we speak about human beings. We have relatives. But if, in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu attained the status of being a Malach, then we don't have to worry about a Zohar. The Sefer Oil Torah explains that the halacha is that when there's a din Torah of Dinei Mamonos, of financial matters, even though normally a relative cannot be a dayan, says the halacha that if the litigants accepted this person who's a relative as a dayan, he could be a dayan. But by Dinei Nefashos, even if the people involved agree that a relative could be the dayan, the halacha is that he can't be a dayan. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all of these considerations. Moshe Rabbeinu is above all these considerations. The pasuk says B'chol Beis Neman Hu, and therefore, even though most people as relatives are disqualified from being dayanim, that halacha doesn't apply to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sefer Birchas Shimon says a very nice teretz. He explains that why would we consider Aaron and Miriam relatives? Didn't everybody who lived at that time have the status of a ger? The halacha is gershon is guy kakot shnayladami. So technically, they weren't Aaron and Miriam, and Moshe and Miriam weren't relatives. So how's the Gemara considering them a karev? So the Maral explains that even though normally in halacha we always know the rule is gershon is guy kakot shnayladami, that halacha doesn't apply in that generation of gerim, because that generation of gerim, they became gerim not because they voluntarily became gerim, but rather as the Gemara Masechta Shabbos teaches us, kof aleihem hakigigas, they were forced into accepting gerus. Since they were forced into accepting gerus, so they're not the regular type of gerus. Gerushin is guy called shnayl dami. Says the Maral, that applies to everyone else. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who went up to Shemayim and saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was a ger that accepted the geris voluntarily. And since he was a ger that accepted the geris voluntarily, he has the same halacha as all other gerim of gershon is geir kikotin shenoy ladami, and therefore, technically, he was not considered at that point related to Miriam. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, the Braisa teaches us, Chamesh Smachos Hoya Elisha, Elisheva Bas Aminadov, Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadov, who was the wife of Aaron, Yisera al Benois Yisrael. On the 8th day of the Meluim, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which was such a special day, that was the day of, as we've been learning in our Shurim, of the inauguration of the Mishkan, that was a day that Elisheva was most happy with. Why? Yavama, her husband's brother, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the Melech. Isha, her husband, Aaron, was the Kohen Gadol. Bena, her son Elazar, was the Skan, was the assistant Kohen Gadol. Achia, her brother, Nachshon, was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. But, says the Maravela al Shnei Benel, that day she was also an Avela. She lost her two sons, as we've been discussing. She lost her two sons, Nadav and Avihu, that passed away that day. But what do we see here? Ketanimius, it says here, Yevama Melech, that her brother-in-law was a king. But we see from here, Melechin, he was in the category of a king, but Kohen Gadol loy. He wasn't a Kohen Gadol. Ema, so says the Gemara, so how do you, Rav, say that he was a Kohen? Answers the Gemara, Ema, Af Melech. It doesn't mean that he wasn't a Melech. He wasn't a Kohen, he was a Kohen and not a Melech. So Ben Yehuda says, if we want to speak about her relationship with her brother-in-law, why is he called Yevama? Why is he not called Achibala? So the Ben Yehuda says that the reason she had that name, he had that name, was originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made a gzeira on Aaron that Aaron should lose all of his children. If Aaron would have lost all of his children, and only Moshe Rabbeinu through his tefillah was able to accomplish that he only lost two, Nadav and Avihu, not a loss of his summer. If he would have lost all four of his children, when he would have passed away, Moshe Rabbeinu would have had to make Yibam Mahar. And therefore, he was called Yibam. We see from here, says the Sheif Shalos Tshuvos Torah Lishma, that if somebody has a brother-in-law, Elisheva was considered great because she had a brother-in-law who was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a reason to honor somebody. And therefore, he suggests, if we see that somebody's husband's brother is a great individual, a Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to show him honor, all the more so if somebody himself has a brother who's a great individual, then certainly under those circumstances, we have to show that person, that man who has a brother who's such a great individual, a great honor. The Gemara says that she rejoiced for five reasons. So the Yal Sashacha says, it wasn't that there was a special thing that happened that day. What happened that day was that she always had reason to rejoice. So the Masha asks, all these reasons that the Gemara identified that should make Elisheva happy also apply to Aaron. So why does the Gemara focus on her and not on Aaron? Says the Masha, because the Gemara, as we also just learned, identified that she also had reasons to be upset because she lost her two sons. But as we've been learning in our Shurim, a Kohen is never allowed to be, Kohen Gadol is never allowed to be Ba'avelis. So the Gemara, which is focusing on the great, on the contrast of Simcha and Avelis, is only applicable to her, but Aaron did not have the Avelis. The Reb Chaim Pelagi gives a different answer. He says, because all that Aaron had, much that Aaron had, was only because of his wife. And therefore, it was Elisheva who had the true reason to be happy, because she was the cause for many of these very positive things that Aaron and his family experienced. The Meshech Chochma asks a question that the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yisroel arrived, Moshe Rabbeinu was serving them. And the question is, how was Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to serve them if our Gemara just taught us that Moshe Rabbeinu is a melech? And a melech, of course, has to be treated with kavod. He's not allowed to treat them that act as a waiter. So the Sefer Yael Sashacha says that the halacha of soim tosim alecha melech shetehei amosa alecha, that the great respect that we have to show to a king only kicked in, he says, when Klal Yisrael arrived in Eretz Yisrael. And here, it was obviously before they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, that halacha doesn't apply. The Gemara says, Ben Benoah, her grandson was a Meshuach Mechama. Why? Because Pinchas was the Meshuach Mechama. The halacha is, as the Torah tells us, that when the Klal Yisrael go out to war, they have obligation to appoint a Meshuach Mechama who would speak to Klal Yisrael and say to them, Shema Yisrael, Atem Kreim Ayoyim Mechama, Aloy Vechem, Ayerich Levavchem. There's a whole speech that he would have to give. So the Mefarshim, however, asked that how can we say that Pinchas was, the Rashbam asked the question, that how can we say that Pinchas was appointed to be Meshuach Mechama, where we learned in our previous year that Pinchas only became the Kayin at the end, at the story Cosby Batsur, or this only after they entered Eretz Yisrael. So there are those that take out this reason for us to rejoice. The Masha says that our Gemara is following, this Bryce is following the opinion that, as we discussed in our previous year, that Pinchas actually was a Kayin from the beginning. The Rashbam answers that he was considered enough of a Kayin to be appointed the Meshuach Mechama, but to be a person that the Keduli Avoida and the Beis HaMikdash, that didn't happen until we discussed in yesterday's shiur much later. The Sefer Torah HaMincha, quoting many Midrashim, says that the lesson of this Gemara is that even though we see that a person is a great tzaddik, Aaron HaKoyen, Elisheva, even though they were such great people, they didn't necessarily always have it good in this world. And even though she had so much to be happy about, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, says that in his infinite wisdom also realized that they shouldn't just have simcha, they also had to suffer some tragedy. Others explain that the lesson of this Gemara is that because so much good was happening to her, she was concerned about, there was a concern of an ayin hara. And it was actually the ayin hara that caused that she should suffer the way the Gemara tells us she suffered. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a tremendous lesson in this Gemara. The Gemara begins by telling us the joy that she enjoyed. But the Gemara then tells us that she suffered with the avelus that she suffered. But what the Gemara says, the Gemara is teaching us, is that even though she had reasons to be unhappy, to be sad, because all the different reasons that she suffered, that didn't take away the tzar that she suffered, did not take away from the simcha that she had, and she continued being the simcha even though she suffered. Says the Gemara, as we've been learning throughout our shir, the Gemara has been discussing what is the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. Was Moshe Rabbeinu a Kohen or not? Suggests the Gemara Ketanoi that this issue, if Moshe Rabbeinu is or isn't a Kohen, is really a machlokes Tanoim. The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snap, by the burning bush, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should be the shliach to come tell Klal Yisrael that they are going to be redeemed, and Moshe Rabbeinu for a week refused. And the Pasuk says, V'yichash af Hashem Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset at Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer Kol Charoin Af Shebetayra. Wherever the Torah uses the word Charoin Af, Nema by Roshin. We see that there wasn't just a anger, but the anger was played out, and there's something that happened because of that anger. V'zeh lo nema by Roshin, but we don't see here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed any. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu shown any particular anger to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shanam Rav Shim ben Yochai Omer, Rav Shim ben Yochai disagrees. And he says that here too we could see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Af zeh nema by Roshim. Why? Shanam aloi Aaron Achicha Levi. The Pasuk says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Haloi Aaron Achicha Levi. And the question is, Haloi Kain Hu. Aaron wasn't a Levi. Aaron was the Kain. What is meant when this Pasuk says that he was a Levi Achkama? And the Amarti, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my original plan was, Shat the Kain, that you will be the Kain. For who you Levi? And Aaron will be the Levi. Ach Achshav, now, Shehu Kain Va'at the Levi. I'm going to reverse it, and you're going to be the Kain, and he's going to be the Levi. So the question, of course, is, so why was Aaron called a Levi? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, because the halach is the Maaser Rishon is given to a Levi, but it's also allowed to be given to a Kohen. And that's why it's called, he was called Levi. So again, says the Gemara, that Aniyam, that originally Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen, and you will be supposed to be the Levi, and now it's going to be reverse. The Sefer Tzora Hamor says when the Gemara speaks here about Charoin Af, it's only referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a human being. A human being gets affected, influenced by what happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get influenced by what happens. So if it says a charoin af, it can't mean a feeling. A feeling is not possible by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, what does charoin af mean here? What charoin af means that there were consequences because of what he did. Moshe Rabbeinu was only coming for 7 days, the Shivas Meluim. That what happened here was that Moshe Rabbeinu was always remained a Kohen, and the original plan was that that would continue with his children, but what happened was it did not continue with his children. And there's another pasuk in Tehillim, Moshe Aaron b'Chayana v'Shmuel b'Kar Shmoy. So we see Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, like Rav has been teaching us, and this is Machlokes Tanoim. Ask them, well, why did the pasuk have to bring the pasuk of Maiva Oimer? Why did they have to bring another pasuk? Chitema l'dar sudiksev. When the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, that means forever that it should pass on to his children. That's why it says the Gemara that no, it Moshe Aaron b'Chayhanov. It was only Moshe was a Kohen, but not Moshe Aaron was a Kohen. Not his children. Says the Kol, going back to what we said, for Kol Arayin Af Shabbatayrov, Nema Bar Roshim, is that true as a rule? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says that after Moshe Rabbeinu warned Paroi, Babakas Bechairis, the Pasuk says, Vayetzmi and Paroi Bechari Af. And Moshe Rabbeinu was left Paroi angrily. For Amaba Midi, we don't see that there are any repercussions of that anger. Answers the Gemara Amar Reish Lakish Sotra V'yotza. Yes, he slapped him before he left. Umi Amar Reish Lakish Achi. Ask the Gemara, is it possible to say that that's what Reish Lakish says? For Ksiv, doesn't Pasuk say Nektzavta L'krosai Asfas Hayor? The Moshe Rabbeinu waited for Paroi by the river. Amar Reish Lakish, what does the Pasuk mean L'krosai? Because he says Melech who? Paroi is a melech, the Hezbollah panim, and he showed him respect. Rav Yochanan Amar Roshahu, the Herabim panav. He showed him disrespect. So we see that Reish Lakish, a moment ago, we said, says that he showed him respect. And here we see that he didn't show him respect? Answers the Gemara, Epoch. We have to reverse the opinions, and it's Rish Lakish who is of the opinion that he didn't show him respect. Says the Gemara, Amr Abiyane, Lo'olam Te'e Emes Malchus Alecha. A person should always show respect to the kingdom. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu warned Paroi by Max Bechiris, he says when it'll happen, it says, when they will be afflicted with Makat Bechiris, they're all going to come running, please leave. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't directly say to Paroi, you're going to have to come to me, even though that's what happened. Rav Yochanan says the source, how we know that we have to have respect for the Malchus, is Mehachab. The Pasuk says, V'yadash, the Pasuk speaks about Elio stopping there should be any rain for 3 years because of the sins that Achav did. And there was a hunger, obviously, because there was no rain. And Elio asked Achav to bring all of Klai Yisrael to Har Carmel and bring the Nevi Abal and their Avodah Zarah. And he told them that they're going to bring two kabbonis. One carbon is for Hashem, and one carbon is Labal. And they won't put down any fire on their Mizbeich. And the one that will have a fire descend from Shemayim, that is the proof that is the real God. And the Nevi Abal brought kabbonis, and they called to their Avodah Zarah, nothing happening. And when Eliyahu brought his power, he davened to Hashem, and a fire descended from Shemayim. And at that point, Eliyahu told them to kill the Nevi Abal, and he told Achav that he should run home before the rain starts to come down. And there was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And the Pasuk said, V'yad Hashem hois Eliyahu, v'yishane masna v'yartz lufnei Achav. In those days, it was quite common that before a king went anywhere, people were run in front of them. And here Elio, even though Achav was, of course, a terrible Rasha, still Elio showed such tremendous respect to Achav because he was the Melech. Why is there a reason that we have to show respect to the king? So the Mashal explains, because Chazal teach us, Malchusa de Ara ke Malchusa de Rikia. Everybody who's appointed as a king in this world, really that monarchy emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since that monarchy comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're showing respect to the king, what we're really showing is respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Sif Secham points out, the reason Rabbi Yochanan brings another pasuk is from Paroi. Even if we learn the Gemara the way Rabbi Yochanan learns the pasuk, he just went down and showed him respect by greeting him. Here, what Elio did was so much more. He ran in front of him to show the tremendous respect one has to show, the tremendous respect that one has to show to a kohen. Says the Gemara. Amula, Bikish Moshe Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu asked that he should be a king. V'loi nosun loy, and it didn't happen. The Ksiv, the pasuk says, Al tikra haloyim, ven haloyim Malchus. Whenever the pasuk used the word haloyim, it means Malchus Shem Nemar, as the pasuk says, the Dovra Melech says, Mi anoich Hashem al kim. Kevisani ar haloim. So you see that the word haloim is used in as Malchus. Asked the Gemara of Rava, we learned early in our shir that why was Elisheva so satisfied? Shmuel Omer, one of the reasons Elisheva was so happy was because of the Yavama, her brother-in-law Moshe Rabbeinu was Melech. So here we see that he was a Melech. And why do we say that he wasn't? Amar Rava, to which Rava answers, Loi Elazaroi Kamar. It only means that he was king, not his children. Ask the Gemara, Haloim means that not only are you the king, but you also, your children are going to be king, and that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Does that mean wherever the Torah uses the word haloim, ladoirusu, it means that it's not only going to be he is the king, but even future generations? Ask the Gemara, v'gabe shol. When we think about shol, the ksiv, when Shmuel decided who should be the melech, the pasuk says, havai ad haloim ish. So we see that Shmuel couldn't find the person, because as we know, the pasuk tells us that Shaul was extremely modest, and he hid. So we see that it says Haloim, but who in? Even though only Shaul was the king, the Zaraloi, and not his children. Ibais Ema, says the Gemara, he did have children who were kings, because the pasuk says that Ishbaishis was Ishbaishis, who was Shaul's son, became Ishbaishis, whose son did become king. And Ibais Ema, Shani Shaul, Dafil Begavelikum. We can't bring a raya from Shaul, because Shaul did an Avera, and that's why he lost the Malucha. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina, says the Gemara, that Bisharshim Hais Gedul El Oidim, when a person is appointed to a important position, says the Gemara, B'shosha Paiskin Gedul El Adam, Paiskin Loi Lazara Etzav Kol Darius. He originally is appointed that position for all future generations. Shanem, as the Pasuk says, Lo Yigra Mitzadav Enov, Mas Melochim Lekisei, V'yeshivim Lenetzach. That you get that position from ever. However, Mhegistata, if you're arrogant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpilai Shanemar, V'masurim Bazikim, V'lochtem Oini, that they lose it. So I saw that the Sefer Avnei Eliyahu explains. The Pasuk says, regarding the Melech, Levilti Rom Levavei Me'echov, Levilti Sumen HaMitzah Yomim Asmo, Leman Yaruch Yomim Amalachdoi. So he explains that a person who's appointed to be king, that is a tremendous position. Yaakov Avinu said, Katanti, Mikol Chesodim. Even though I had so much Chesed Hashem, Katanti, I always kept myself modest. Somebody who is going to keep himself modest, Leman Yaruch Yomim, Lebilti Rum Levavoi. But if you're not going to be modest, then the Torah says that just the opposite. You're going to lose. You lose the Melucha. The Sefer Chelek HaLevi explains that the Pasuk says, "Umimidbar Matana," and the Gemara Masechta Erevin teaches us, "Misha Mason Atzmai Kmidbar." Somebody who treats himself like a midbar, Shahakal Doshan Malav, it's a place where everybody walks. That is the person that Talmudei Meskayim Biyadai. So says the Gemara, if somebody is like a person that everybody could step on, that's when he's successful in his learning, and that's when it stays with him. And that's what he explains. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that here he sees that his children will not be melech. And by seeing that his children that is not going to be melech, he was concerned, doesn't that represent that he must be arrogant? Says the Gemara that, so that's why Chazal teaches us that Midbar Matana, Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest person who ever learned, and who knew Torah. And that's a proof that don't worry, that even though you're not, children will not be king, it doesn't mean that you're not learning Torah properly. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed has a very interesting question, that if somebody is a very prominent, smart person, the question is that sometimes smart people, and because they're so smart, end up in a difficult place, because people will come to them for advice, people will come to them for guidance, and there may be somebody who is more prominent with them than they are, and will be offended that they're not being asked, that this other person's being asked. So he asked two questions. If somebody's a prominent, great individual, and there's somebody is a smart person that everybody asks questions to, and not a question, not an issue that comes up, by them being asked question, should they answer, even though the prominent person may be offended? Should they answer the question or not? And he answers, of course, somebody who's asked the question and can be helpful has every obligation to do so, even though somebody else may be upset with that. But now he asks another question. If by doing so, the other people, the prominent person will be offended, and that could hurt him. And the question is, would that be something that what should he do then? And he says that as much as somebody has an obligation to try to be helpful to anyone who asks some question, it should not be at the price of one losing his panosa. The Mefarshim ask, here the Gemara says that Shaul lost his monarchy. But we also know that the Chazal teach us that there was nobody more modest than Shaul. So if there was nobody more modest than Shaul, the question is, how does the Gemara say that he lost the Malucha? And the Mefarshim answer that when we look at a person, we have to look at the totality of the person. So even though, of course, as we just said, Shaul represents tremendous modesty, but at the same time, Shaul did not listen to what Shmuel told him. And therefore, because Shaul did not listen to what Shmuel told him, he was punished. We learned in our Mishnah, Bali Mumin, Bain Bali Mumin, Oivrim Bain Bali Mumin Kvuin, when we speak about Bal Mum, whether it's a permanent Mum or a temporary Mum, get a share of the Kabbonis, but they can't do the Avoida. Ask the Ramanan Emili, how do we know that Bali Mumin asked the Gemara, get a share of the Kabbonis? The Tanur Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Kol Zochu B'nei Aaron Yechlena, the call comes to teach us, L'Rabbis Bali Mumin, ask the Gemara, L'mai, Ilachilo, if the Torah is coming to teach us that they're allowed to eat from the Korban Mincha, says, Ma, we don't need this pasuk for that purpose. Harek v'nemar, lechav elekav mekotche kotchem yoichel, that is entitled to eat from the Kabbonis. Ella, they're coming to teach us lechaluka, that they're given a shear. Tanya idach, another braisa, the pasuk says regarding the Korban Chatas, lekol zoch b'kohanim yoichel oisoi. The rabbis, from here we see that the Bali Mumin get a share. And again, Lamai, what is the purpose of this pasuk? Ilachilo, if it's come to teach us that they're allowed to eat from the Kabbonis HaKrei Kvamer, as we just said, Lechem Alakov Yoichel. V'ilachaluka HaKrei Kvamer. We also learned that they get a share. Says the Gemara, She Yochel Enolel Tav Nas Balmum. We would say only a kind that was once healthy and then became Balmum. That's the kind that gets a shear. Balmumi Karminain. How do we know somebody was born that way, that he also gets a shear? Tamalami Kozach Bakanim Yachlosai. Tanyidach. Now the Gemara brings us another brisa. The Pasuk says, Kozach Bakanim Yachlana Larabbis Balimumin. And again, ask the brisa, Lamai. What is the Pasuk coming to teach us? Ilachilo. If it's coming to teach us that the Balmum is allowed to eat from Kabbonis, Hare Kuamar. Lechem alakov yoichel. Vile chaluka that he gets a share. Kvei omer kozachum ne'an yechlena. Vile balmum yikara. If to teach us that even somebody who's a balmum from birth still has this halacha, hare kvei omer kozachum bekahanim yoichel oisai. Yoichel enli ala balmum kavua. We would think that only somebody who's permanently blemished has these halachas. But continues the braisa, balmum oivre menayin. How do you know if it's a something that's only temporary? Tamalim kol zocher, even somebody who's temporary. Says the Gemara, klap elayah, what you just said doesn't make sense. A balmum kavua is worse than a balmum oiver. A balmum kavua is somebody who's going to be a balmum forever. Balmum oiver, he's not going to be a balmum forever. So if anything, a balmum oiver should be the one to be entitled to eat, not a balmum kavua. So says indeed the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Epoch. Though what the Brisa said is correct, it's Itzrich. And the way to understand it is as follows. When we speak about Balmum, we compare it to an individual who's Tamei. Ma Tamei, Kam Dloy Tor, somebody who's Tamei, as long as he's not Tahor, Loyochl, he's not entitled to eat. Af Hai Nami, when we speak about a Balmum, we maybe should say, Kam Dloy Masakin, until he becomes no longer Balmum, Loyochl. Kamash Malon, that even though he's a Balmum over, and he's going to ultimately be allowed the not a balmum, still he's allowed to eat even when he's a balmum over, because it's not comparable to a tummy. We learned further in the Mishnah, whoever is not able to do the avoida doesn't get a shear of the kosher meat. Asking her, is that true? For a balmum, let's just speak about what we just discussed currently. The balmum is roi avoida, and yet he gets a shear, as we've been learning. The saw. And furthermore, Roy Lavoy de Chaylik, is that a rule that whoever can do the Avoy that gets a shear? Hare Tamei, the Kabbanah Tzibur. We often discuss the Loch of Tumah Tribet Tzibur. So when we speak about Tamei as far as Kabbanah Tzibur, who is an individual that's Roy Lavoyda, and yet, Vener Chaylik, we learned in the Mishnah that Tzadik Tess, he doesn't get a shear. And it says the Gemara, when the Mishnah says Roy Lavoyda, what the Mishnah meant was Roy Lachila. And the Mishnah is saying somebody who could do the avoida, like Tumah Hutra Bet Sibur, but if he can't eat from the carbon, he gets a shear of the he doesn't get a shear. Ask the Gemara over a cotton, the royal achila. Let's speak about a cotton. He's royal achila, ain't a chaylik, and we just learned that whoever could eat gets a shear. Says the Gemara that halak tani. The Mishnah says kol she ain't a roy ain't a chaylik, and we can't learn from here. The Mishnah is teaching us about somebody who can't do the avoda doesn't get a shear. That not to tell us that just because you're allowed to eat, that gives you a shear. Not everybody who could eat automatically gets a shear. Hashdas is lacha, says the Gemara, now that we've learned the Mishnah, or explained the Mishnah this way, we could go back. Loilam krami mekara. Like we learned at the beginning, royal avoida. We're talking about somebody who could do the avoida. Imishim tamei. If we're going to say that a tamei who could do the avoida tumah hotch betzibur, but he still doesn't get a shear, tamei like tani. The Mishnah didn't talk about a tani. Imishim balmum. What about balmum who could not do the avoida and still gets a shear? Says, "Ma, you can't ask a question for balmum. Rachmana Rabbi, it is a special ribui, as we learned earlier." That gives the Bamum a right to get a shear in the Kabbanis. A feel of Tamei B'Shas Zrikas Damim, we learned further in the Mishnah, if somebody's Tamei at the time of Zrikas Adam, V'tar B'Shas Hektech Alovim, and he's Tar at the time of Hektech Alovim, Ein Echaylik. Says the Gemara, what about a case where somebody's Tar B'Shas Zrikas Damim, he's Tar at the time of Zrikas Damim, V'Tamei B'Shas Hektech Alovim, Echaylik, he will get a shear. It says that the main point is that he was Tamei at the time of Zrik Stam. Says the Gemara, Masnis and Dloik Abishol. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Abishol. The Tanya Abishol, Oymel Oylem, Ena Oichel. A person is not entitled to eat from Kotshim. Ache Tom Shah Zrika, Ache Hakta Chalovim. He has to be tar both by Zrik Stam and by Hakta Chalovim. The Domakra, the Pasuk says, Hamakrav as Dama Shlomim, the Schelim Mimne Aaron, Loisia Shoiku Mene. And the Torah is teaching us that you have to be hafila hekta chalavim nami boy. You have to have that he's tar at the time of hekta chalavim. So now ask the Gemara, by Rav Ashi, what's going to be the halacha of somebody who was tar at the time of Zrikas Dam, tar at the time of hekta chalavim, but nitma ben etayim, he became tamei in between. Now, what will be the halacha? Do we need b'shas zrika b'shas haktar b'inan? Does the Torah require that it should be tar at these two times? And he was. For Edoma, what the Torah requires is that she had tar b'shas zrika at shas haktar chalavim. He should be tar for the entire duration. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. And the Rambam says that the halacha is that we don't tell him We don't give him a piece, but if he will take a piece, then he's allowed to. He's entitled to keep it because it's a teiku. Amar Rava, Hai Dina, the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah that tful yoyim doesn't get a chelik in the kachim, even though the tful yoyim by night will be able to eat the kachim. Says the Gemara, Hai Dina, Rav Elazar of Shimon Gamrinan. I learned this halacha from Rav Elazar of Shimon, Dama Beisakisei, that he taught it to us in the Beisakisei. Gemara is going to focus what's meant when he said when the Gemara says that it was taught in the basic Kisei. Danta, bot for yoim. If a bot for yoim came to a coin that's tar, vama, and he says, "Tainly mincha, give me a share of the carbon mincha of oichel that I should be able to eat from that carbon mincha tonight." Amaloi, this coin could tell this for yoim as following. Oma makoim shiyofa kachoyach bechataska. The halacha is that even though the Kohanim were divided into Mishmairis, the Karma Chattis that a Kohen himself brings, he could bring even not during his week, and he gets the meat. The Chisa Chattis Yisrael, if Yisrael brought a Chattis, the halacha is that you don't get a share in that Karma Chattis. So certainly, Makom Shuraka Chachma Mechaska, that the Chattis of a Kohen we know is never eaten, any addition to Chacham Minchas Yisrael, certainly I can. So your position on a Karban Mincha is a weak position, and therefore you're not entitled to a shear. Says this Kohen, who's a Tful Yoim. Umaim dechisane bechat Yisrael, shem shiyof v'koichi, the reason that I get a shear in the Karban Chattis, that I could bring it in not my Mishnah, because I have this advantage, but so too Kaf Yocha, you also have this advantage that you're being able to bring your chattis not in your week. You want to push me off from the mincha. Both of us don't have any particular strength for a carbon mincha because the carbon mincha of a kohen, as we said, is kol. Harei Omer says the Gemara. The pasuk says the kohen amakrev oisol loisia ba'ha krevachol. The only person who could get a shear. As somebody who could have participated in bringing this carbon, a tful yoim cannot be participating in bringing a carbon, and since he can't participate in bringing the carbon, he's not entitled to a share in it. Says the Gemara. What about a carbon chatos? This pasuk of tful yoim was said by carbon mincha. What's going to be by carbon chatos, where the kohen who's a tful yoim should approach the other Kohanim and say, "Tell me, Chatzis Yisrael Eichel, I should get a shear of the Karma Chatzis that's being brought on Ali tonight." Amalai, Umaba Makam Shura Kaichi. The kind that's Torah could say to him, if my position by Mincha is weak, because we don't get teeth from a carbon Mincha of a Kain, the Chichasi Mimichas Yisrael, that the Allah is that you can't get from the carbon Mincha of Yisrael, Makam Shiafa Kaichi, in a place that I could bring my own carbon chattis, even though it's not my mishmer, and Yisrael. So certainly I could push you off. I'm in a much stronger position than you are. Amalai, and the tful yoim client could take to him. If you're able to push me off from getting a shin of mechaz Yisrael, because kashem shahura kachacha, just like you are weak in the carbon mincha, so too am I weak. Tadichanim chatas Yisrael, shekshem shiyofik achacha, just like you have the right to bring a carbon chatas when it's not your mishmer, kach yofik koichi, and that should give me a right to get a share in the carbon chatas. Hareyu oimer, the pasuk says regarding the carbon chatas, hakoyin amachata oiso yachlena, only a kohen who could do the avoida could get a share, not somebody else. Next case. If a tful yoim tells a kohen tor, I'm like telling a chaz v'shoik, give me a share of the chaz v'shoik of the shlomim that go to the kohen, v'aychel, so I should be able to eat tonight. I'm like, so the kohen could say, Uma b'makom shiyofa kach b'chataska. If by your kamechatas that you get all the meat, the chisicha b'chatas Yisrael, the halacha is you don't, because all the meat that's eaten from kamechatas is only eaten by kohanim. Still, the chattis that's brought up by Yisrael, if while you're at tful yoim, as we just finished learning, you don't get a share of. Makom shachar b'kishlam. And a shlamim, where your position is weaker, shalom b'chem el chaz v'shoik, you're only entitled to the chaz v'shoik. And it didn't. Certainly, your position is weak, and if you're tful yom, you don't get a portion. To which the tful yom says to him, ma'am d'chisanim b'chatos, if thou walkest by a chatos, she can hura koichi etzel noshev avadai, that when I'm tor, the loch is that only the kohen can eat from the chatos, not his family. And the fact that my family could eat it should maybe give me a right to get it when I'm a portion when I'm tful yoim. To which the pasuk says, "Hareu oimer." The pasuk says, "The kohen hazorik stam hashlam lo yia baz roik v'ochel." Only the kohen who could do the zrika, who could do the avoid, is entitled to portion. No one else. Yotzut tful yoim. So says the Gemara, after learning all these halachas, the Tful Yoim leaves disappointed, Kulav Chamurav Roisha. All the Kalvachaymers that he tried to present have been refuted. Oinami Aminai, and says the Gemara, the Oinan goes to his right, the Mechupas Kapara Mesmoiloi, as we learned in the Mishnah, just like the Tful Yoim is not entitled to a share of the Kabbanas that are distributed, so is the halacha to an Oinan, and so is the halacha to Mechupas Kapurim. Ask the Gemara, Paruch Rav Achi. Ask Rav Achi that Leimalei, there's another halacha that could be said. Tenli mi b'char v'eichel. Let me get a share of a b'char that he should be allowed to get from the owners of the b'char that he should be able to eat tonight. B'shem d'amalei, says the Gemara, because the Kohen, whose Torah says to him, Ma makom shura koichi b'chatas etzel noshe b'avodai. If a kohen b'chatas, that the family doesn't eat, only the kohen eats. The chitzicha, the chatos Yisrael, you don't get a share of the chatos. Makom shiofer koichi bebechori, the kul delihu. All of the meat is mine, and it can be served to my family. En adin shadachacha memenu, and therefore I, the kohen, that's targeted, and not you. Says the tful yom to him, omad dechisanim bechatos. If you push me away from the chatos, shekshem shura koichacha kachure koichi. Your family can't eat, and my family can eat. That the entire animal is yours. So too, the entire animal is mine. And because I get the entire animal, maybe that's an indication that I should be able to get a shear where I'm at full yom to eat tonight. To which says the Gemara Rei Oimer. The pasuk says, "As dom tizrak on mizbeach, v'schelbam takta b'sarm yilecha." Again, Boz Roik V'Ochel. Only somebody who could do the Avoida gets a shear, not somebody who can't. Vidach, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that didn't mention this dialogue, Prig, says, Miksiv B'Sarim L'Kayin HaZorik, that indicates only a kind who could do the Avoida. The Pasuk says, B'Sarim Yil Chaksiv, Afil L'Kayin Echer, the halacha is that he could get the Bechar, and not only the person who does the Avoida. And therefore, since it's not clear in the pasuk that this is the halacha, that's why Rabbi Elazar Shimon did not mention it. But ask the Gemara, this was all said in the bathroom. Ask the Gemara, Ve'echi Aver Hachi, how could he said the return in the bathroom? B'amar Abba B'b'chana, Rabbi Yoch Kamak Mota Laharer, a person is allowed to think the return, chutz mi beis kisei, not in the beis kisei, answers the Gemara, Lo'ein Shishani. It was not something that he could control. But there's a very big discussion here in the Paiskim. What does it mean, lo'ainsoi? Some Paiskim suggest that he thought the Divrei Torah in the bathroom, but he didn't say him in the bathroom because you're not allowed to say Divrei Torah in the bathroom, and that's controllable. It's not so easy to control what you say, what you think, but it's controllable what you say. However, others say that not only did he think the Divrei Torah in the bathroom, but he even said the Divrei Torah in the bathroom. But the Mishnah Berurah says that certainly one is not allowed to say Divrei Torah in the bathroom. And even though Al Gemara says lo'ainsoi, it was something beyond his control, says the Mishnah Berurah, one who starts thinking Divrei Torah in the bathroom should do whatever he can to control those thoughts or push away those thoughts that he shouldn't be thinking. They should try to avoid thinking Divrei Torah in a bathroom.